Immortality and the Tree of Life by Robert C. Newman. A brief abstract of this talk. A study of the Tree of Life passages in the Bible. There are two of these in Genesis, four in Proverbs, and two in Revelation. Two peculiarities that arise in this material suggest that mankind was not originally created physically immortal, whatever his soul might have been, and that his immortality in the eternal state is conditioned upon regularly eating from the Tree of Life. So, immortality and the Tree of Life. Introduction. We're going to begin here with the account of creation and rebellion of mankind, and then look at the Tree of Life passages. So, Genesis 1 gives us an overview of creation in terms of 6 days of creation and 1 day of rest. In this account, Genesis 1, humans are created last in the image of God. They are to have rule over creation. Moving on to Genesis 2, that gives a close-up of the creation of humans, who are placed in a special location, the Garden of Eden, and instructed to care for it. Two particular trees are mentioned in this garden. One is the Tree of Life, from which apparently they are permitted to eat, since the account says you can eat from every tree, and then only forbids the next one. The other is the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil, from which they are prohibited from eating. That leads us to Genesis 3, the rebellion of mankind. Genesis 3 tells us how humans disobeyed God's command and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As a result, curses come upon the man, the woman, and their tempter, the serpent. Also, the humans are expelled from the garden in order that they might not eat from the Tree of Life. So that brings us to consider then the Tree of Life passages. Let's have a look at them. Well, there are 10 passages in the Bible that speak explicitly of a Tree of Life. Two of these are in Genesis. Four of these are in the book of Proverbs. Four of these are in the book of Revelation. So let us look rather quickly at each of these. We'll be looking at each of these from the English Standard Version. So here we go. Genesis 2, 8, and 9 in the English Standard Version. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, where he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The Tree of Life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then in Genesis 3, 23 through 24, 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. He is, Adam and Eve have eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the Tree of Life. Well, those are the two passages in Genesis. Genesis 2, 8, 9, Genesis 3, 22 through 24. We turn now to Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 18 says, she is a tree of life, and in the context, the she is wisdom. So, she is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are blessed. And then in Proverbs 11, 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. And then in 13, 12, hope deferred make the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And then 15:4, a gentle tongue, or possibly a healing tongue, is a tree of life, but perverseness in it, in the tongue, breaks the spirit. Well, those are the four Proverbs passages, and then the four Revelation passages. Revelation 2:7, among the promises to each of the seven churches, Jesus says in 2:7, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." And then moving to the end of the book, Revelation 22:1-3. We've now reached the new heavens and the new earth, if you like. "Then the angel showed me, John, the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him." Notice that remark there about the tree of life yielding its fruit each month, and that the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22:14-15. "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have a right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." And then Revelation 2:18-19 completes our passages. "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book." So, those are the 10 passages. Now let's see what we can extract from them. We look, first of all, at the tree of life in Genesis. Well, we here take the Genesis account to be historical and accurate. I believe all of the Bible is accurate, that it's God's word and it's inerrant. and that the Genesis account here intends to be a history rather than, say, an allegory or something of that sort, a parable perhaps. It's intended to be historical. We also take the tree to be a real tree, which in some sense confers immortality. Yes, the tree may have some sacramental significance to it, but it's real in any case. Okay, it really is a tree, and in some sense it confers immortality. As a result, this suggests that humans were not immortal originally, or at least not physically immortal. How's that? Well, if they were already immortal, it wouldn't matter whether they ate from the tree of life or not. And yet God indicates in the Genesis 3 that it is necessary to exclude them from the tree of life. So so this at least suggests that the humans were not immortal originally, or at least not physically immortal. Of course, throughout Christian history, there has been a great deal about the immortal soul, and we know that was a belief that existed among many of the Greeks already before Christian influence had reached them. It may also be true that the soul is immortal, but this at least suggests that the humans were not physically mortal, that they were capable of dying, and that this is now going to happen to them since they are excluded from the tree of life. How did this tree work to confer eternal life, immortality, let's say? Well, we're not going to attempt to give any sort of mechanism here. I have no idea what it might be. I mean, we could speculate that perhaps some chemical in the fruit of the tree or in the leaves of the tree does something to us, and that's certainly possible. But we're not going to attempt to give any sort of mechanism of that sort. But the question arises, does one taste confer immortality? That has been probably the traditional understanding of this particular passage. And it's certainly not impossible, but notice that would still imply that humans were not immortal before this. Say, this has been the common assumption. In that case, then, however long Adam and Eve were in the garden before they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then were visited by God, and then driven out of the garden, in that case, Adam and Eve had never tasted it, even though it was not a forbidden fruit. We don't know enough to go one way or the other, although that sounds somewhat unlikely. They were not forbidden from it, and we don't know how long it was before they fell. We suggest, however, that this idea that one taste confers immortality is probably not correct, and that's based on the natural reading of Revelation 2:22. That's what says, find it here for us. Misread that. Natural reading, Revelation 22:2. It says, through the middle street city, also on either side of the river, is the tree of life, which its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. So idea seemed to be that people are going to be eating this again and again, etc. And then also this rather cryptic sentence, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Well, you might ask, why do you need healing if everybody has been raised to immortal life and there'll be no sickness and sorrow and things of that sort? Well, I don't know that we know all the answers to that, but it suggests that one taste does not confer immortality. We'll come back and think about that more when we get to Revelation, but let's look at the Tree of Life in Proverbs. We had these four passages there, and we suggest that all four of these occurrences are figurative in comparing various of four things to the Tree of Life, and probably with the idea of life-giving. Notice the Tree of Life is compared to wisdom. Wisdom gives us life in some sense, and in that sense it resembles the Tree of Life. The fruit of the righteous, meaning presumably the deeds and actions and thoughts and words, etc., of righteous people, are life-giving in some sense, and therefore compared to the Tree of Life. A desire fulfilled is seen as life-giving in some sense as compared to the Tree of Life. And then a gentle or healing tongue is life-giving in some sense. So I think the point of comparison seems to be that each of these, wisdom, the fruit of the righteous, the desire fulfilled, a gentle or healing tongue, give life in some way similar to, comparable to, and something like that, to the Tree of Life. Well, that would fit with our idea then that perhaps one taste is not, you know, permanently doing that, but that repeated eating of the Tree of Life, and so repeated wisdom, repeated fruits of the righteous, repeated desire, etc. That brings us to the Tree of Life in Revelation. And here we have a picture of one artist's conception of the river flowing here with the the trees on either side. And there then the Tree of Life on either side is presumably referring to it in a generic sense, rather than that there's one tree that straddles the river. And so the artist has done it that way in this particular picture. Well, Tree of Life in Revelation. In Genesis 3, humans were excluded from Eden, and therefore, and explicitly for, to keep them from having access to the Tree of Life. In Revelation, as we saw in those various passages, we see that believers will be granted access to the tree of life now and will be permitted to eat from the tree in the New Jerusalem. The tree, as we saw, will bear various fruits each month, and its leaves will be used for healing, and the continual bearing of these fruits and such suggests presumably that they're going to be continually eaten by various people rather than once in their whole career. And the leaves used for healing may suggest that that is a mechanism by which God deals with the fact that there will be complications of one sort, and whether that's healing from diseases. I had gotten the impression from other passages there will be no diseases, but there might still be accidents of one sort. Who knows the answer to that? But we do have this passage we have to deal with. It sounds rather as though people will eat of the tree of life regularly rather than just once, and presumably make use of their leaves whenever necessary. Well, if we carry this idea of eating regularly back into the book of Genesis, this might very well mean that Adam and Eve had previously eaten from the tree of life, but now as a result of their rebellion, their disobedience, God denies them further access, and they are driven out of the garden. In such a case, then, the tree gives temporary life, but one must keep eating from it to live forever, and Adam and Eve were no longer able to keep eating from it. Perhaps this might also explain why Adam and Eve and their immediate descendants lived so long as they did. We're not really told why that is, and various suggestions have been made that there was some kind of a canopy protecting them from radiation, or that sin effects begin to get worse and worse. But it might conceivably be that having eaten of these fruits, that had conveyed some longevity on Adam, and it even went on to his immediate descendants, but gradually faded away. We really don't know, but just a suggestion on how perhaps to understand that. Well, that brings us then to try and summarize what we picked up here and draw some conclusions from that if we can. In summary, in this proposed model, humans did not initially have eternal life before they sinned. It's possible, of course, that their souls were more immortal before that, maybe from the very creation of their souls. I don't know of any explicit passages that mention that, but there may well be some in the Bible that I have not thought of. But apparently, as regards their bodies, they needed to eat from the tree of life to keep their bodies living, and that had some effect, just like perhaps we might think of as taking a medicine or even eating or something of that sort. We don't have to eat every instant, but when we eat, then that's good for a while to provide nutrition for us, and gradually that nutrient value disappears as our body uses it up, if you like. Well, perhaps you're getting something like that with the tree of life as well, that it renews life, it continues life, etc., but it has what we might, from a scientific perspective, think of as a half-life of some sort that gradually fades away. So we don't know, but that's my suggestion here, that whether or not souls were immortal, and apparently the bodies needed to eat from this tree of life to keep their bodies living. So Adam and Eve then may have eaten from the tree of life, but were thereafter denied further access to it. Well, so some conclusions then. In the age to come, it appears that people will live forever. That's very explicit, scattered around Scripture in many, many places. And here in this one passage, perhaps some information that they restore their bodies by eating this fruit of the tree of life, and then by using the leaves of the tree of life for healing whenever that is necessary. This seems to best fit the remark of Revelation 22:2. Which speaks of the tree of life yielding fruit each month, while its leaves are for the healing of the nations. Well, that's the end of our brief talk here on immortality. and the tree of life. My desire for each one of you is that may God grant you the right to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Thank you.